We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the voice of Pittsburgh, KDK Radio. I'm Angino.
And I'm Lynn Hayes Freeland on a hot, muggy Friday afternoon.
Oh, it sure is.
I had to get all that in.
Oh, of course.
I had to get all that in.
Did you watch the storms last night? Did you notice them?
Did I watch them? I noticed them. I was definitely aware of them, but I didn't watch them.
Oh, it was nice. For whatever reason, the storms really show up big over in Moon Township. So we had the sliding glass doors open and the curtains and everything and just sitting there watching the lightning and hearing the thunder. It was a pretty good experience last night. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I certainly was aware of the fact that it was storming outside, but I didn't... I did not use it as my evening entertainment.
I see. Well, it doesn't take much for us. It doesn't take much.
I know. You cracked open a cold one and watched it.
Just another reason to crack open a cold one, right? That's all. Okay. We're just looking for reasons.
And that doesn't take much either.
No. Another light and sound show in the sky. The 4th of July is by,
there
so no
go.
More fireworks. Now we just watch the lightning and listen to the thunder. A lot to go over today, though. Right? A lot
indeed.
To go over.
And I just said to Marty, I am glad that I am not a parent with school-age children to have to try to figure out the maze of going back to school, because one of the biggest challenges for me would be the mask debate. Whether or not, you know, how do you get your kids to keep a mask on? And does the school's rules supersede what the governor has said in terms of wearing a mask?
Right. And maybe a mask, maybe go with a shield instead, maybe a mask and a shield. And what about putting up the possibility of plexiglass dividers? Does that make a difference? And can that go in lieu of masks? How safe is it really ultimately to send the kids to school? All that to go over. Joining us right now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline is Dr. Michael Petrosky, pediatrician with AHN Pediatrics in Wexford. Doctor, welcome to KDK Radio. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Give us your assessment on schools opening for students to go to the classrooms, either full days, everybody goes, or some type of modified hybrid where they go to school some days and stay home others. Your thoughts about that?
I mean, schools are definitely important, and I think what we've learned from the end of last year, virtual learning has its benefits. It can help, but there's that socialization, other aspects of school that's important. So I'm a fan of going to school, but it have to be very safe and cautious. I mean, there's a lot of planning still in the works, a lot of things that we don't know. So I'm all for kids going to school, but taking as many precautions as we can to help prevent the spread, transmission of, you know, the coronavirus. So I'm in favor of kids getting to school whatever way is the safest possible. I mean, some of the hybrid ideas seem pretty good to me, where you're at a reduced capacity for half the time, or kids are in school for half the time and virtual up the other half of the time. Because we know the less number of people around, the lower risk of transmission.
So what about the idea, Doctor, masks for kids? The governor has certainly said that he wants the mask to be worn for the bulk of the school day. Do you think that's something that works universally, say, from first grade to 12th grade?
It's definitely, it can be possible. I don't think it's universal. Every kid's a little bit different. just from our experience, because we're still seeing kids in our office, and we're recommending kids 2 years and older wear masks coming into us. I've been surprised at how well some two and a half, three-year-olds are doing wearing masks, but some don't. Even some older kids, I've had some issues with kids wearing masks. I mean, I think it's knowing masks greatly reduce the risk of transmission. That's one of the things we've been seeing a lot. I think it's a good plan to have as much as we can kids wearing them, and part of it is over the summer may have to spend some time putting kids in masks at home just so they start getting used to it. But knowing at school they're going to need to take break from masks, and whether or not that's certain areas where they can be off by themselves for a short amount of time where they can be in masks, because what we're looking at transmission-wise is at 6 feet. So if you're 6 feet away from someone on your own, you can have a mask, I guess, a mask-free zone. And that'd be one of the things I'd look at, and knowing that, you know, lunchtime is going to be a big thing, too, because wearing a mask and eating is not conducive.
Right, especially in large enough crowds to be able to make sure that all the kids can ultimately eat. Dr. Michael Petrosky is with us, pediatrician with AHN Pediatrics in Wexford. Doctor, can you speak at all to the issue that COVID-19 is not as infectious for kids and children aren't as likely to then spread it to adults as it is for adult-to-adult contact?
I mean, there's still a lot we don't know. What we do know is the number of cases, positive cases in kids, is pretty low. I mean, I think the last numbers I looked at, under 18, it's about 2% of cases. The concern is that we're not catching everyone that has COVID, and that's what we're realizing. Kids, their symptoms are a lot more mild compared to adults, or very little to no symptoms at all. So those kids aren't getting tested because they're doing so well. So we don't have the exact number of how many actually have the disease. Instead, with, I know in our area, testing supplies are in short supply, so we're not getting universal testing, not getting a lot of information. But everything seems to be the kids aren't getting it as bad. But without knowing the numbers, the transmission seems low in kids, but I said without all the information, we still need to learn more.
Doc, I don't know. Does your time allow you to stick with us a few more minutes? I know you always have an office full of patients. Could you give us about five more minutes, or do you need to dash?
No, I can. No, I'm good. I can do longer.
Okay. All right. Good. Then I'm going to ask you a real quick question. We'll go to traffic, and then we'll come back. Masks versus shields. Are shields easier for kids, do you think?
I don't think so. I know at least my experience. For me, I mean, a mask is definitely much better than shield. Shield, a lot more vision issues. I think, yes, you're able to breathe a little bit better. Masks, I mean, depending on how tight they are, and if they're wearing glasses, you always worry about glasses fogging up. It depends on the shield. Some of them that the worry is with shields is that can, if they're not in the proper position, if they're up a little bit more and you're able to breathe out and it's not getting trapped in there too, it sort of makes them invalid, or they don't work as well. The mask, the proper covering over the nose, over the mouth, I think you get better protection, and I've seen a lot more compliance with that too. Plus, face shields in kid sizes aren't easy to come by either. We know when this all started, finding pediatric masks at first was difficult, but people are making smaller sizes now so they actually fit kids. So it's more the transmission and the practicality of it that I think masks are a better option than shields.
Once again, we are joined by Dr. Michael Petrosky. He's a pediatrician with AHN Pediatrics in Wexford. And doctor, as we look at the young, the very young, the school age children and infection rates and how they're doing with the disease, do we have enough data regarding that, considering that children, for the most part, maybe more than any other demographic except for maybe senior citizens, are being isolated in greater and greater numbers since there isn't school. Daycares aren't being utilized as frequently as they have in the past. Camps and different activities have been canceled. So is it a bit early for us to truly understand the infection rate amongst children when it comes to COVID-19?
Yes, I believe so. And it's some of the points that you mentioned before. I said, yeah, since, mid-March, I mean, schools have been closed in this area. So their ability to interact with other kids in, you know, that setting, daycare centers, I mean, we're just seeing since March, I mean, there are a number of, like, acute illness-type stuff, numbers have gone down, and that's due to the social distancing across the state. But also, the other thing I mentioned, too, is the testing. I mean, we just don't know true numbers yet. I mean, we don't have enough testing supplies. And a lot of the kids, if they have it, they have mild to no symptoms, so they're not getting tested. So we don't have the true numbers. We're trying to gather as much data as we can. But, I mean, at this point, things are changing daily as of right now. Do I think we have a great hold on things? What we know is if kids get it, they tend to not be as sick as adults. So we have that going for us.
So, doctor, at the end of the day, and I don't know if you're a dad, I don't know if you have small kids, older kids, but I do know we're going to be speaking with the superintendent of Pittsburgh Public Schools coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And it sounds like one of the things PPS is doing is leaving a lot of the decisions up to parents. What do you think about that? Do you think at the end of the day that we will see more school districts at least doing everything they can to keep kids safe, but then at the end of the day, letting parents decide their own comfort levels?
I mean, it's definitely an interesting possibility. I have a child who's going to start third grade and someone who's, and my daughter's supposed to start kindergarten this fall. So it's difficult decision. I think it's tough to leave it all on the parents. I mean, I think the schools need to do everything they can to help mitigate risk. I mean, you can't ever eliminate risk when we're going in a situation like this. Mm-hmm. But trying to keep everyone socially distanced as much as you can, having, you know, the hand sanitizer stations around to have easily access to it, trying to enforce wearing masks as much as they can because we've seen that's reduced the risk of transmission. So I think we need some guidance from there, too, because it's tough to be that one parent to be really unsure.
You're the only one.
Have all the information, have enough information to make that decision.
That makes it tough for you because you're the dad doctor in the group, so I'm sure they all come to you with questions.
It's something I talk, and part of what I do, it is a personal choice. I try to give the pros and the cons of that, instead of knowing the risk of going to school, picking up infection, but also the benefits of being in the school setting. What I think it's a lot of the onus that goes back on the parents is, before, you know, and I was like, I'm like this with my kids. I mean, you have a little runny nose, you're fine, you're going to school. Knowing that in this fall, you know, in the medical world, if you have a fever, cough, congestion, really it's going to be COVID until proven otherwise. So kids are showing signs of symptoms. We need to do our job as parents to keep them out of the school so they're not actively infecting. Instead, one of our old caveats was we kept kids out of school for about 24 hours until their fever resolved. This fall is going to be closer to 72 hours just because, they said it's COVID until proven otherwise, so we want to try to help minimize, you know, the risk of spreading. So I think a lot of the keeping kids home from school is going to be more on the parents as well. And I said, and I've been guilty of it before in the past because I remember I was going to school, and if I wasn't close to dying, my parents were sending me to school. So
I hear that one. What are you hearing from parents? How concerned are they about school this fall?
I'm starting to get lots of questions already. They're asking my opinion. They're saying, I know I've heard some parents ask about they're getting options of whether to do, in school versus cyber school, and what decisions should they make. And the same information I'm giving to you now is what I give to them. I said, I think there's a lot of benefits from being inside the school, and I want kids to be in school. But you have to look at risks. Risk versus benefits. I mean, and if the schools are doing everything they can, social distancing, limiting size as much as you can, enforcing masks, having the ample hand sanitizer or hand washing stations, and parents are doing their part of keeping kids that are ill at home, I think it's worth a try, working and seeing how things go. The tough thing about this is things seem to be changing, you know, daily, weekly, if not daily. So information is it's tough to get a good grasp on it. Right. But as of right now, I'm planning on sending my kids to school in the fall. If things change, we'll have to keep an eye on it.
Dr. Michael Petrosky, pediatrician with AHN Pediatrics in Wexford, joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Doctor, thank you very much for your time.
Indeed.
All right, thank you, sir.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.